Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. Also wanted to say thank you for all the people who said hey and made my family feel welcomed as you always do. That's one of the things my mom was mentioning when we were at the house was how warm and friendly everyone here is, and I'm very thankful for that. Tonight we are back in the book of Romans. We are in Romans chapter 4 tonight. As we come to Romans chapter 4, Paul is centering in now on looking at an example of salvation by faith. As we closed out chapter 3, that was the thing that Paul had centered in on. That salvation did not come by works of the law, but it came by faith. And as we come to chapter 4, now Paul wants to use an example. And he goes to the example of Abraham. And remember, he's writing to Christians, but he's also focused on this mindset of the Jews. This mindset that Christians had to also be circumcised. Christians also had to keep parts of the old law. And he's been working and trying to get them away from that. He had showed how Jew and Gentile now were on equal footing. Both had sinned, both were in need of salvation. And both were in need of that sacrifice of Jesus. And so as he comes to chapter 4, he's centering in now on an example that would catch the Jews' attention. And that's the example of Abraham. And he talks about how Abraham's salvation was by faith and not by certain other things. And as we look at that, we want to notice the first two points tonight that we're going to center in verses 1 through 12. Number one, he lets them know that salvation is by faith, not works. Salvation is by faith, not works. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh?" You see, he's focused in on the Jews here. He said, what was it that Abraham gained? You know who Abraham is. He was our forefather according to the flesh. They were descendants of Abraham. This was the one that they held up in high esteem. This was the father of the faithful. And so he says, what was it that he gained? Well, as he continues in verses 2 and 3, we're going to see what Abraham gained was righteousness. He says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. He said, if it was the fact that Abraham had done some great thing, that he could say, hey, look, this is because of me. This is because of what I've done. And it might have been that Abraham might have been able to boast before men, but Paul says, not before God. Abraham had no special standing in that result. As he looks at God, Abraham was just as any other sinner. Abraham had nothing that he could boast about. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. This is the first time we see this word counted, and it's a word that Paul uses often through chapter 4. And in the Greek, it was originally a mathematic, an accounting term. And so when he talks about this, he's talking about it was counted to him as righteousness. It wasn't that Abraham was righteous, but God viewed him as righteous because of his faith. He continues on. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Now we understand this concept. You agree with an employer for a certain wage. You go to work and you work your hours, and the boss comes to you and is like, you know what, I decided I'm going to give you this check for the time that you worked. Going to give me this check? No, I earned this check. This is what was due me. This is what we agreed upon. These are my wages. But he's going to say that's not how it was for Abraham. It wasn't that Abraham could turn to God and say, hey, righteousness, that's what I'm owed. That's what I'm due. Because of what I've done. No, that's not how it works. Abraham was due nothing. Paul continues on and he says, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. He says, The individual who does not work, who isn't owed anything, that's who Abraham was. God owed Abraham nothing. But because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, because Abraham believed in God, there it was counted to him for righteousness. Remember, God came to Abraham and told Abraham, you're going to have a son, and from that son is going to come a great nation. And the Bible says, Genesis chapter 15, that Abraham believed God. Despite the fact that Abraham was past the years of being able to have a child, that Sarah was past the years from being able to have the child, despite the fact that they had tried for all those years, it had never happened. You know, all the facts pointed in the other direction. But God said it, and Abraham believed it. And Paul said, as a result, it was counted to him as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count, there's that word again, his sin. God's got a ledger. And on all of our balance sheets, friends, of sin. And you and I have no eraser big enough to erase it from the ledger. It's there and there's nothing we can do about it. I don't care how obedient we are. I don't care how good we are. We can Mother Teresa it up all we want, y'all. We can't change the ledger. That word sin's still there. But Jesus can. The blood that he shed can erase that. It can change the ledger. It can remove sin from the ledger. And instead, over sin is that blood and then that word, righteous. Abraham had his ledger changed. He believed in God. It was counted to him as righteousness. Friends, it wasn't that Abraham did some great thing. It wasn't that Abraham was owed anything. It was God. Abraham was counted as righteous because of faith, not works. But secondly, in verses 9 through 12, we see that Abraham was counted as righteous by faith, not ceremony. As you come to verses 9 through 12, verses 1 through 8 dealt with how. How was it that Abraham was counted as righteous? Well, we see it was by faith. That's how. Wasn't anything that he did that where he could turn to God and say, I'm owed this, but it was because he believed God. Despite all the facts to the contrary, he believed in what God told him. But now as we come to verses 9 through 12, Paul shifts the question to not how, but when. When did this happen for Abraham? Remember, he's primarily focusing in on the Jewish argument. That because they were circumcised, they had some right. Because of their works and because of the law that they kept, they were due something. They were due salvation. And so as he goes to this question now of when with Abraham, we're going to see that Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. We're lurking at chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. Abraham's not going to be circumcised until chapter 17. And most scholars will tell you that somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 20 years is going to elapse between chapters 15 and chapter 17. Abraham's justified long before circumcision takes place. That ceremony was not what justified Abraham. In verse 9, is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? This echoes back to kind of the question that Paul asked earlier. Is salvation for the Jews only or is it also for the Gentiles? You remember what he said? Oh, it's for the Gentiles also. Chapter 2, he talks about that God's no respecter of persons. Everyone had this opportunity. And this statement here kind of echoes back to that. Is this blessing, this righteousness that we can receive, is it only for the circumcised? Is it only for the Jews? Or is it for the Gentiles also? He says, well, we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? Notice what he says. How did this work? Was it by faith, as we've just talked about? Or was it by the work of circumcision that you're going to hold to, that you're going to say is what caused it? He says it was not after, but before he was circumcised. That's when Abraham was counted as righteousness. It was before that took place. So what was the purpose of the circumcision then? Well, he received the sign of circumcision, Paul says, as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Paul uses this statement, seal, a few other places in Scripture. And it's the idea that during ancient times, people had signet rings. And they could take the signet ring, they could dip it in wax, and they could press that seal upon something. And that seal showed that this item was owned by that individual. This was theirs. It wasn't anybody else's. They could send letters and they could dip that and seal that letter, and it would show this letter came from that individual. It was owned by them, not anybody else. Well, that's what we see here, that circumcision was a seal showing that Abraham was God's. Now, when I press my seal onto an item, I possessed that item beforehand, right? My signet ring is just showing now that it's mine. Well, that's what circumcision did. Abraham had already been counted as righteous. But now circumcision was a sign. It was a seal showing what he had already received. It's what Paul talks about. That he received that, but he had been righteous by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose, he says, was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised. He's once again pointing to this idea that it's not just for the Jews anymore. It's for the Gentiles too. Yo, we've been grafted in. We have the opportunity for salvation. We are children of Abraham just as the Jews are. That's what Paul's driving home here. Circumcision had nothing to do with it. It wasn't that Abraham was circumcised and then God said, okay, now we can have a relationship. That relationship already existed. That covenant was already in place. He goes on to say, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. Who? The Gentiles. And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Abraham was counted as righteousness by faith, not ceremony. He was counted as righteous by faith, not works. Friends, too often time, we have a tendency, and I say we, pointing at Justin as well, we have a tendency to make our salvation all about what we do. And that's a mistake. It's not about what we do. It's about what God does. It's about what Christ does. That's what Paul's getting across to him. Abraham didn't deserve to be counted as righteous, but he was. You and I don't deserve salvation, but it's offered. And friend, it's offered to you tonight. All you have to do is come to God, believing in Jesus, turning from sin, confessing that belief and being immersed in water. Y'all, when we do those things, it's not earning salvation. You don't get to come up out of the water and say, well, God had to save me. No, he didn't. In fact, if you come up out of the water with that attitude, you might need to go back down in the water again and try that a second time. Those things are us pleading with God. God, you said that you'd save me. Please. Maybe you've done that. You are a Christian, but you've turned away from it. Come back home tonight. We serve a great God. We serve a saving God. Will you take advantage of the salvation he offers? As together we stand and sing.